What's the self that you have to lose? And what's the self that you have to find? What's the self you have to lose? And what's the self you have to find? That's what's going on in our gospel reading this morning. Jesus says it in different words, but he's essentially saying to his followers that those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. There's this idea of losing and sort of finding. And what is that about? I'm going to draw on two of spiritual, I call them heroes of mine, Richard Rohr and Thomas Merton. More on Thomas Merton today, really, to kind of delve into this a little bit of what does it mean to lose one's life and to find one's life. Richard Rohr suggests that throughout Christian history, it was falsely taught in many ways that the way to lose our life was to lose this physical body, this materiality, this physicalness. There was something about this that we had to rid ourselves of. And so much spirituality somehow focused on that, missing the point that God created us this as good. And yet so much of spirituality became this idea of, in order to lose one's life, you had to lose this. And the idea of even needing to punish the body, with the idea that by somehow punishing our physical body, somewhere the spiritual reality would emerge. We're challenged to think, while history may have been into that kind of way of seeing it, that there's another way. And it's, Richard Rohr uses the phrase, it's lousy theology. And some would say it's even lousy psychology to see that somehow punishing ourselves, punishing this body with the expectation of a spiritual emergence may not be the fullness of the picture that we're looking for. Thomas Merton made a major shift in this kind of view. He offered another view. It's one of the great gifts of Thomas Merton that he offered to us. Shifting away from that way of seeing this idea of losing oneself and finding oneself, but making a different language, offering a different language. Instead of the body self and the spiritual self, the sense of the body and the spiritual, and the body is something that we need to punish or get by in order for the spiritual to emerge, Thomas Merton suggested the language of the false self and the true self. The false self and the true self. I think some of this may have emerged from Thomas Merton's life. For those not familiar with who Thomas Merton is, he was a Trappist monk who became a Trappist in the 1960s when the Trappist monastic community was known to be one of the most ascetical, one of the most challenging of the monastic communities. They fasted very strictly. They were known to live a very strict ascetical life. They slept on straw beds. It was just an incredible way that they lived. And to be honest, if you read The Seven-Story Mountain of Thomas Merton, he was drawn to that life because of that. He came from that kind of a view of spirituality. And yet, as Thomas Merton lived in that community, he began to realize that, you know, this doesn't all necessarily make the spiritual emerge. There's something more to this than that. And that's when he began this idea of the false self and the true self. And that was a major shift in spiritual, in thinking in the way of the spiritual journey. For Merton, it was the false self that had to die so that the true self can be known. The false self had to die so that the true self could be known. And what is the false self? This may seem overly simplistic, but what is the false self? The false self is who you think you are. For Merton, the false self is who you think you are, meaning It's the self that you don't need to be attached to find your entire identity. It's not the self that we need. And what is that? What is that false self that we identify with that defines us, that makes us known? There's so many things. Our occupation, our career, the money we make or don't make, our race, our gender, our language, our culture, our political party, our religion, the color of our skin, our country, our state, the teams we follow. Unless you're a New York Yankee fan. I'm not going down that route, just teasing. But we so identify with those things. Not that those things are bad, but we became identified by that. Did you ever say to somebody, meet somebody for the first time, and you'll say, who are you? And they'll give their name. We know how to name when we say, who are you? But the next question we also ask is, well, what do you do? Tell me about yourself. And we tell about these kinds of things. We identify with those. And that's what Merton suggests is our false self. We think that's who we are. And that false self can create separateness from one another. And not just on a personal level or an individual level. It becomes how society views itself. Us and them. We as a society, we as a culture can live within our false self, valuing each other by those kinds of things, valuing each other by the falseness that we live in, that separates us and divides us. And Jesus is saying, this false self is going to die when you die. So why not die to it now? Meaning a letting go of it. Not totally finding our identity there. You know, what is the true self? The true self is who God sees in you. Who God sees in us. Our Eastern Orthodox friends say it very well. They say the true self is the face you had before you were born. It's what God sees in you as you were burst forth into this world. But as we live, we tend more and more to grasp on to that false self, finding our identity in those things that we do, those things that we feel are important to us. You know, it reminds me of that story I think I've shared before of the little boy who, just a couple years old, and he has a younger sister who's born. And one day he says to his mom, can I go in to my little sister who's in the crib? Can I go in there alone and talk with her? And the mom is a little hesitant, not showing what this question is about, and says, sure, go ahead. And the little boy goes over to the crib. And the mom, of course, keeps the door on a crack open a little bit, listening. And the little boy says to his sister, hi. I'm Tommy, your brother. Can you tell me about God? I'm starting to forget. It's a true story that I read years ago. It's grasped so deeply this childhood sense of being close to his newborn sister, closer to God. Can you tell me about God? I'm starting to forget. As we live our lives and enter more and more deeply into our false self, into the way that our culture and society finds value, we can become distant and distant from that true self that is already a part of who we are. That true self that draws us to realize that we are the same, that we are all one in God the Creator's eyes. To use Christian language, our true self is who you are hidden in the image of Christ. And so when Christ calls these disciples in the gospel reading this morning to follow him, he's calling him to that true self, calling them to that identity that God sees in them. Jesus shows us the image of the true self. So this is so difficult for us to grasp. I'm not sure I'm explaining it well, but that idea of discovering that true self. When I sit with folks in counseling or spiritual direction. So often the things we're struggling with are these things that are so taken with our false self. And I encourage folks sometimes maybe to let go of those things and to be able to see yourself as God sees you. We see ourselves that way. We struggle with how we see the world and ourselves. But God sees us in such a different light. And how do we grasp that? How do we live into that? That to me is the life journey. It's the journey that we're all called to live. And I think that's one of the reasons we feel called to community, called to be together, called to walk together. Can you remind me who I am? Can you encourage me along the way? Can you call me to something more than this world I live in? This world that lives in its falseness. How do I encounter that true self in me and somehow bring that into the world? Please walk with me, guide me, help me. It's why Jesus called people, not individually, but into a community, to be part of this journey together. So continue this journey of walking with Jesus. In him, we see our true self. And sometimes that's not always easy to see, because we can't believe it. We can't accept it. It may seem so unreal. So taken are we with this world we live in and our image of ourselves and the world around us. So separated are we from each other. And that separateness is so apparent in our country today. It's so apparent. We need to find a way to connect to who we are, who God calls us to be as we journey forth. So let us continue this Lenten journey as we come closer to the self that God sees in us, the God, the person we're called to be, this loving creature. Continue the journey together.